The Jay Young Show is a weekly podcast featuring insightful discussions with anyone from big business CEOs, celebrities, to military heroes. Each interview is a personal conversation about business, life, and anything in between. And now, your host, Jay Young.
Hey, everybody. This is Jay Young with The Jay Young Show, episode 94. Getting to that big century mark of 100 pretty soon. But I tell you what, the guests just keep getting bigger, better and better every day. Today, Bitcoin. If you've heard about Bitcoin, you got to know more about it. I don't know that much about it. I've been asking questions offline, and our producer said, hey, Jay, let's go to the show because that's the questions you need to ask for people to know more about what's going on with this Bitcoin. Because, man, it's just so much about it. But David Bailey, thanks for coming on the show today. I really do appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Jay.
It's gonna be a lot of fun. We're gonna talk about Bitcoin. We're gonna talk about how can you make money in Bitcoin like you couldn't make money in anything before, and it's like buying gold or silver when nobody knew about it or something, and the crazy ride about Bitcoin. But let's first talk about the Bitcoin, because I mean, I'm in the Tiger Group, O2 Dallas Group, and you're in Tiger as well. And that's kind of how we met through friends. And you know, I'm really curious because, man, I mean, there are five or six guys that I was talking to said, I'm going to this Bitcoin 2021 in Miami. And I'm like, what's that all about? And they said, well, David Bailey, this guy is putting it on. You need to go. And I said, well, I can't go this week. But anyway, I want to know more about that. Why did you decide to put up Bitcoin, the Bitcoin conference?
Yeah, well, we built our Bitcoin over the past 10 years, our Bitcoin company, and we've really been nurturing the Bitcoin community exclusively for about 4 years. And so we own Bitcoin Magazine, which is the first media outlet in the world on the topic. We have the Bitcoin conference, which is the largest event for the entire crypto industry in the world. Also, you know, the number one best super spreader event of 2021. We have a hedge fund, UTXO Management, as well. So we do all things Bitcoin all day, every day, really are just trying to expose people to the ideas behind Bitcoin, because it's very esoteric, it's complicated, more complicated than it needs to be for people. And whether people like it or not, they're going to have to grapple with what this technology is. It sucks you in whether you want it to or not.
Right. Well, I had an investor the other day said, hey, will you guys take Bitcoin? And I said, I don't know. But if you want to invest in our fund, man, I'll find out for sure. I mean, I'm not going to take no for an answer.
Let's start there. I mean, not to throw off the script a little bit, but you know, someone says, I want to invest Bitcoin. And you say, I don't know. Why? What are your concerns?
Well, I'm just uncertain about it. I don't know how does that work? Do I just open up my bank account and let Bitcoin come in and I convert it?
Yeah. So there's two things you could do. So first off, you could decide you want to speculate on Bitcoin, in which case you just download a piece of software called a Bitcoin wallet. You don't need to put in an email address or anything. You are in complete control of that. It's almost like your Bitcoin bank account. You take your Bitcoin address that comes with that wallet, send it to that person. That person copy and paste that address into their wallet. However much money they're going to send you, they just type it into their wallet. Boom, one click, you know, a few seconds later, you have that Bitcoin in your hand, in your possession. So most people, though, when they want to do a financial transaction, they need to have the stability of, you invest $1 million, I'm going to have $1 million. And so you work with payment processors like BitPay or OpenNode. There's a lot of them out there. Or you could just set up an exchange account. And literally, as soon as that money hits your wallet, it's instantly converted into dollars, and the dollars are deposited into your bank account. So you choose whether you want to take the volatility risk or not of holding it. You know, in time, I would hope you'd say, hey, I want to hold the actual Bitcoin. But it's instantaneous to sell it. It's cash goes in your bank account. The fees are next to zero. So if I were in your shoes and someone wanted to give me $1 million worth of Bitcoin for my fund, I'd say, hell yes.
All right. I'm in. I like it. I'm going to have to call Rex. Rex, we're getting some Bitcoins in. You got to figure it out. And that's right.
Well, Frank's, a lot of businesses, you know, like we talk to businesses all the time that are like, we don't know if we should accept Bitcoin or not. And it's like, well, what are your reasons for not? And they're like, I don't know. It's, you know, and they start thinking about it, you know, can it be hacked? And it's like, okay, your experience with Bitcoin, there are service providers that make it so simple, 5 minutes to get set up. Right. And then you choose whether you want to hold the Bitcoin or not, but it's a fast way of moving money. And so, you know, there's really at this point in time, no reason not to accept it, but people just, it's new. New things are kind of scary.
Yeah.
Well, they don't think that simple either, but it is not.
No, I agree. Then the more gray hair you have, the more uncertain you are, and the more like, sure. Oh, is this a scam or is this a what? You know, but our units are $200,000. So I just go, okay, hey, it's selling for $42,000 and that'll be less than five units. So send me 4 point whatever units and then they download it.
Yeah. So a Bitcoin is infinitely divisible. There's a market price of a Bitcoin that is 24/7 liquid at that price. There's always a clearing price for Bitcoin. And so in your wallet, like if you wanted to send someone an invoice for $1 million worth of Bitcoin, you would type in $1 million. It would send an invoice to that user. At the time that they pay the transaction, it's going to pull in the exchange price for the global price of a Bitcoin and tell them, you know, this is exactly how much Bitcoin to pay. 0.763221. And they don't even have to see that. Their wallet handles all of that for them. And then they just click accept, send, boom. And now you have $1 million worth of Bitcoin, whatever fractional amount of a Bitcoin that is, or however many Bitcoin.
Interesting. Really, really interesting. That is. I mean, because, man, that is just, that's crazy. Because, I mean, it's gone up like 30, 40% in the last week or two.
Yeah. No, it's volatile, 30 or 40%. You know, back in the day, it used to go 30 or 40% in a day. You know, now it's 30 or 40% over several weeks. So the volatility is coming down in time, but still very volatile compared to other asset classes.
Wow. Unbelievable. Hey, how many people did you have at your Bitcoin conference? And what about next year? Where is it going to be? Where's it going to be next year?
Yeah. So we had 13,000 people sold out.
13,000 people. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. And, I mean, one of the most eclectic group of people in the world. I mean, we had US senators, comedians, actors, NFL players, many Wall Street billionaire tycoons, the Dan Loebs of the world, the Bill Millers of the world. We had, you know, tech CEOs. We had, you know, one of our keynote speakers called in from prison. You know, it's the whole gamut. Paris Hilton was there DJing. Tony Hawk was on a skateboard, on a half pipe. You know, it really is a cultural movement that fuses together politics, technology, finance, business. And, you know, it's fun. It's fun. It's a lot more fun than a stodgy old Wall Street conferences. So lean into that. And we had people from around the world, even with the travel closed down, we had people that went to third nations for 2 weeks to wait, like, the you know, however long they had to wait to get across the border. And so people who committed a huge amount of time to be able to come. We probably had, if I had to guess, 100 billionaires there. So it's just, it's an eccentric group.
100 billionaires.
Yeah.
In one spot. Wow. Yeah.
The number of security teams that we had, you know, if you went into the back lot,
you
know, we'd have 20 different security details simultaneously. And they're all scoping each other out. Like, you know, who's the top dog security detail. We had Floyd Mayweather there. I mean, it was wild.
Golly. So, and you started this, or this is all your mastermind behind the whole thing. Well, what was the goal of the conference? What, besides bringing all these people, what did you teach me about Bitcoin, or was anything to do with Bitcoin, or just?
Yeah. So we have a big party. It's a combination of all the above. So yeah, we teach people about Bitcoin. We have dedicated content for the different parts of the industry. We're trying to facilitate deal flow. We want people deploying capital into startups, into miners, into projects. You know, we are educating people on the ideas behind Bitcoin because that's fundamentally what made it work from the very beginning, which is a radical free market view of the world. You know, Bitcoin is math-based money, and it is trying to completely remove politics from money, which is a controversial thing. And so we want to expose people to those ideas so that when they think free market, they don't think, you know, anarchist. They think, you know, business executive builder who just wants to be able to build a great product for customers. The freedom to do with your money what you want, when you want, where you want, how you want. And so, you know, we're really, the event's almost like a festival, and it really is about celebrating freedom, celebrating the technology, celebrating the culture that's built around Bitcoin over the past, past 10 years.
So what is the big, you said sourcing and Bitcoin using and all, was there people there with booths that has deals?
Yeah. We had a couple hundred exhibitors. Our main stage was
a couple of hundred.
Yeah. The Bitcoin ecosystem is huge. I mean, it's, there are tens of thousands of companies now that make up the Bitcoin ecosystem. Just like if you were like, how many internet companies are there? There's a lot. So, you know, there are tens of thousands of Bitcoin or crypto companies providing a wide range of services. I mean, as if you ask, you know, well, what does an internet company do? Okay. There's so many pieces to that question. It's like, okay, there's the consumer facing side. There's the infrastructure side. There's the cloud side. I mean, on and on and on and on.
Right.
Same with Bitcoin. It started very simple with a white paper. That white paper was an open source project that anyone could become a part of. And as that technology has matured and more users have come to it, they need a wide variety of services and products. And so what Bitcoin really represents is not just the start of a new monetary system, but a new financial system where every product that you use in your daily life, whether it's a credit card, a debit card, a mortgage, different investments that you make, fund vehicles, bank accounts, all those things are being replicated in the Bitcoin universe. And so there are lending platforms where I can go and collateralize Bitcoin and get a loan against that Bitcoin. And I never touch the banking system at all if I don't want to. Like, they'll give me, they can lend me stable coins that lock in the amount of dollars I have, and I don't need to have a bank account. I can just keep it on my cell phone. So, you know, you're really seeing the dawn of a new financial system. And so there's a lot of people that want to talk about their goods and services. And then, you know, our main stage had about 4,500 seating capacity. So we had keynotes from, you know, Jack Dorsey, who is, you know, CEO of Square and Twitter, you know, his view of Bitcoin as a human right for the world. You know, how quickly Bitcoin's growing in places like Africa, Nigeria. You know, we had a conversation around the politics of Bitcoin. We had some congressmen and some senators, Senator Lummis from Wyoming. You know, we had, there's a movement going on right now called Pay Me in Bitcoin, where musicians and athletes are demanding that they get paid in Bitcoin as a form of protest against the banking system. And so we had, you know, rappers on stage saying, I want to be paid in Bitcoin. And so, you know, it's really an interesting combination of almost like, you know, the Occupy Wall Street plus the Tea Party fused together around freedom and capitalism. And so, you know, freedom and capitalism are controversial enough as is, then you add in the, you know, Occupy Wall Street, Tea Party vibe, and it's an interesting crowd. That's all I can say.
Oh my gosh, I bet. So where is it next year?
So we're returning to Miami for at least one more year. You know, I think that's probably going to be the last year we do it in Miami, just because we want to take, you know, this show to different parts of the world and you know, expose as many people as possible. But Florida has been one of the only stable business environments that we can do an event of this scale at. And the governor and the mayor of Miami were just hugely helpful. It was originally supposed to be in LA, which is just a nightmare to do business in right now. Yeah. So, you know, this event was really the first event of this scale in the United States. We did it in June. You know, Eventbrite, which was our partner, told us it was the third biggest event in the world. That was in person. So, you know, COVID be damned. It's just like, hey, we're doing this event. And we just announced actually yesterday, it's fortuitous timing. Bitcoin 2022, going to be in South Beach. We're going for 35,000 people. it's going to be a party.
Wow. That's unbelievable. South Beach. And when is it? Is it going to be in June again?
It's going to be in April. So April 6th through the 9th, 4 days.
6th through the 9th. That's awesome.
So we'll have 1 day dedicated just to the industry. We'll have 2 days that are general admission. So for the community at large. And then our last day is just a music festival where we have bands from around the world coming in, comedians, and it's just a full day party.
Wow. That's unbelievable. Hey, so how much do you pay today in Bitcoin? Do you pay a lot of people in Bitcoin or?
As many people as we can. Most of the people who work at our company prefer to be paid in Bitcoin. A lot of our vendors that we work with now want to be paid in Bitcoin. It's just easy. The accounting is easy. If I'm having to pay someone who's overseas, I'm getting to skip all the Forex fees. I'm getting to skip the bank wire fees. I'm getting to skip, I don't know the last time you sent a wire from a bank. From a business perspective, the authorization that you need to have of just who's able to send wires and who's not.
Yeah.
It's a pain in the ass. It's like, hey, you call this number, make sure you call before 3:30 Eastern time, or you're not going to be able to get your wire. It's just, once you get spoiled with Bitcoin, it's like Bitcoin's open 24/7, 365, right. Christmas, holidays, weekends, it doesn't care. And you type in someone's address, you hit send, that money's going there and no fees, just direct peer-to-peer. And so that's how the system should work. It's actually absurd that our money shuts down at 5 p.m. and shuts down on the weekend. It's absurd the stock market shuts down. I mean, right. Hello, we're living in a global economy now. I mean, it just doesn't even make sense.
So, you're right. Exactly. 100%. So tell me how you got involved in all this stuff. What happened? What happened? I'm sorry. I didn't say that. But where did you grow up and how did you get to buying Bitcoin 10 years ago when, I mean, I guess it was $3, $4, or $5 or something?
Yeah, about $10. So, I grew up in a small town in Tennessee, Fayetteville, Tennessee. Learned at a very young age, I did not want to be a farmer. I'm just not cut out for it. I'm a little too nerdy. So I had, gotten into value investing at a young age and was a big Buffett fan. I would go to every, Berkshire Hathaway convention every year when I was in high school. Like I was a nerd.
Wow.
And I had always intended to go into some sort of investment banking. My senior year of college, I had interned with the hedge fund. One of my buddies I had interned with sent me an article about Bitcoin. And my immediate reaction is, this is a scam. And so I kind of have a personality type where if I see something that's like a scam, I'm going to drill in, show you how it's a scam and just like try to eviscerate it. And, I had kind of like an initial list of reasons why Bitcoin couldn't work and therefore was, doomed for failure. And as I started doing diligence on it, like one by one, I crossed off each of those reasons. I got to the point where everything was crossed off and I couldn't tell you why it wouldn't work. And then I was like, okay, well, to disrupt money is the biggest market that exists is value. Like that, everything falls underneath the category of value. So it's like, this thing has a 1 in a million chance of working. The expected value of it today is astronomical. So I should just buy some. And so that was the start. So I tried to buy 1,000 Bitcoins. It was a pretty painful process back then. There were no exchanges. You had to just deposit money into some random person's bank account that you found on the internet form and then just pray that they sent you the Bitcoin. I mean, it was, a shit show. But so bought my first Bitcoins November 2012. And then in January of 2013, I'm still in college at this point, the price of Bitcoin just starts going through a tear. I mean, really the first bubble that I lived through, but the second bubble in Bitcoin history, where it goes from $13 a Bitcoin to by April, it was $260 a Bitcoin.
Wow.
So you can imagine, a college student, you dream about like the investment you make 10x on, in your life. And, in 4 months time, I'm up 25x. And it sucks you in. And so, the price crashed in April of 2013 from 260 all the way down to 50. And I lost a ton of money. And I'm sitting there like, okay, I need to like, you know, figure out if this is real or not. And so I went out to a the first ever Bitcoin conference called Bitcoin 2013, which is when we created the Bitcoin conference, it was an ode to the original conference. But Bitcoin 2013, and there's about 1,000 people there. And it was the 1,000 most brilliant people I had ever met. There were some weirdos there, handful of weirdos, but I mean, brilliant people. And I thought I had met really smart people on Wall Street, at investment conferences. These people were the nerds of the nerds. And, you know, you were meeting engineers from Google and Adobe and Apple who, you know, at this point in time, Bitcoin was still, you know, you talked about it in hushed tones because people kind of, they looked down on it and if they even knew what it was. And so, you know, these engineers had called in sick to work, made up excuses so that they could sneak off to go to this Bitcoin conference so that they could talk about some project that they were building on the weekends in their garage or whatever. And when you see that many brilliant people who are making $400,000 as senior engineers at the biggest companies, and they don't care about their work at all, this is all they care about. It's like, okay, this is real. This is a signal that people are drawn to this. They're working for free in their free time to build this technology stack out. Mm-hmm. And so I just made the decision, you know, the worst case scenario is it goes to zero and I'm coming out of college and I start from scratch. You know, but I will regret it for the rest of my life if I don't, you know, take this opportunity to jump at it and this technology succeeds. So I just went all in April 2013. This was May 2013, all in. And I've been working on Bitcoin 24/7, 365 since. And it's been a very bumpy road. We've, you know, built a company, scaled it up, had to scale it way down, you know, almost gone bankrupt twice, done venture deals, started businesses that I've had to close, launched multiple hedge funds. I mean, dude, it's like, you know, it's a rodeo. And it's been an incredible learning experience over that 10-year period. And so just about anything that you could ask about for crypto, you know, we've done, we've trialed, we've made the mistakes on, lost money on it. And, you know, like we've done the whole gamut.
That is so awesome. I mean, well, not awesome, but I mean, you are today where you are, thankfully. Sure. Yeah, we learned.
I truly believe that it's like through the you only succeed through the failures. And, you know, we would not have been in the position to be where we are now if we hadn't learned so many painful lessons. We're here because of the painful lessons. Let's put it like that. So,
right. That is so awesome. I mean, it's so good that the wins, obviously the wins are far greater than the losses. So you're still there on top, which is great. But to know that, I mean, I'm just amazed at people that, I mean, to me, it just seems like it's just luck, right? You find this Bitcoin and somebody talks you into it and you buy it and all of a sudden it goes to 20,000, you know, and everybody's like, oh my gosh, did you hear about this Bitcoin craze or whatever? And you're like, yeah, I just don't understand it. I don't know.
Jay, do you have any Bitcoin?
I don't have any. Do I need some? Right.
Go get $1,000 worth of Bitcoin. Talk to me in 2 years about how easy of a process just holding on to that Bitcoin was. It's an emotional roller coaster. Your stomach gets churned. Like, you put $1,000 in. $1,000 becomes $1,000,000. It's more money than you've ever had. Your wife is telling you need to sell it to pay for the mortgage. Then the price drops 75% on you. You know, then your wife is, Jay, why didn't you sell? I told you. It is an emotional experience to go through it. And only through really understanding how the technology works can you really build conviction that, yeah, it's worth suffering through this volatility because we're at the beginning stages of something. And if you if you don't see it from that lens, you're not going to make it. We actually have a phrase, whether someone's going to make it or not going to make it. And if you don't zoom in on the fundamentals, you're not going to make it because it's just too emotionally taxing.
Yeah. I bet it is. And that's one reason why I haven't seriously, because I mean, I got involved in the stock market when I was going to school, you know, back in the early 80s. I mean, it was like oil and gas was not, my family's been in it for 100 years, but oil and gas was not good in the early 80s, so I didn't get in the oil and gas business in the very beginning. And so I just became a stockbroker. I started trading commodities and stock options, and that was kind of a roller coaster, and I couldn't find a way to make money. So I've been through the kind of a that, but not anywhere close to what you have. But and I was like, man, you know what? Unless I'm sitting there watching it, you know, 100%, and I can concentrate. But we've got a lot of partners of ours that are in the oil and gas, and I need to concentrate here. Because, man, I know. And you told me how much money you lost in a weekend or a day or two or whatever. Dude, that's just – I can't imagine. I just can't imagine losing.
You know, it's I mean, you have to be able to sleep at night. And the only way we're able to sleep, like, you know, the reason that we're a Bitcoin-only company, because crypto is a really much broader than just Bitcoin. There's 10,000-plus cryptocurrencies out there. Some of them are quite big. Ethereum, the number two biggest, has like a $300 billion market cap. You know, there's over 100 different digital assets that have $1 billion-plus market cap. So, you know, it's like we specialize now on just Bitcoin. And that's because, you know, if you're going to lose a lot of money in something, lose it in the thing you have conviction about. Don't lose a bunch of money in something you have no conviction about and then can't sleep because you're like, why did I ever do that? I don't even believe in it. Right. So, you know, that's, we used to be in all of crypto. Now we're just in Bitcoin.
So the more people that use Bitcoin, the more valuable it becomes, right? Is that kind of how the limited amount, was there 22 something?
21 million. 21 million Bitcoins that will ever exist.
Yeah. So the more people that use it, the higher the price goes, kind of.
Correct.
Okay. So it would behoove you. I mean, so the Bitcoin conferences and all the things that you do to increase the number of people, you know, it helps out. It helps the state, not necessarily at 50 or 100,000, which it could go there, but at least it gets, the state keeps a good bottom to it, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, but for us, like, you know, like when I say like conviction, what does the conviction come from? It's like, does the world need free markets or not? You know, does the world need capitalism or not? Does humanity need capitalism or not? And, you know, for us, Bitcoin is the embodiment of capitalism and free markets and the opportunity to build from scratch a system that is fair and equal to all, but not equal in a way of redistributing wealth, but equal where everyone plays by the same rules. Our current financial system and monetary system does not work like that. Not everyone plays by the same rules. And it's broken, and it's really disadvantaged many, many, many billions of people around the world. And so Bitcoin to us represents an opportunity to create a new system in which people are free to control their own financial destiny, free to engage in business with whoever they want to engage in business with, and to really have a promise of a brighter future. And so, you know, what I don't even care what the price of Bitcoin does at this point. It's like, as long as it doesn't go to zero, great. You know, it, for us, it's really about how can we spread freedom to as many people as possible so that they can take control of their own financial destiny.
Right, right. So I guess you could, is there a way you can hedge against, I'm not talking about inflation and all that smart stuff that my colleagues over here wants to talk about, but just, is there a way to hedge it and go, okay, well, if it does go down to a certain dollar value that I can hedge So
first off, you can sell Bitcoin instantaneously or buy. Well, you have to have money that your bank has wired to an exchange. But if you have money at an exchange, you can buy Bitcoin instantaneously at any time. And you can, if you have your Bitcoin at an exchange, you can sell your Bitcoin at any time instantaneously. So the market's very liquid. It's very deep. Like I said, it's 365, 24/7. There's always a clearing price. And if I wanted to sell $100 million worth of Bitcoin in a second, I could. There are also really vibrant futures markets. So, I mean, the Bitcoin futures market is the number one market on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. You know, you're talking about easily $10 billion a day plus in open interest in the Bitcoin futures market where people are hedging their risks. So, depending on how you want to hedge, there's a vibrant option market. You know, we play the other side of that where we do this cash and carry trade, contango basically, are able to make, you know, yield on top of our Bitcoin. But yeah, the financial stack that exists in terms of, you know, options market, futures market, physical delivery market, you know, all of the institutional solutions you would expect for kind of large money managers to be able to touch, interact with Bitcoin, all exist, are growing very rapidly, and are big and global, which is kind of cool about it. It's not just like, you know, it's not like the CME is the only market where they dominate all the volume and all of the players have to be there. You know, there's a startup in Singapore that's doing as much volume on their options platform as the CME is. And so, you know, the CME is competing with a truly a global open marketplace. You know, the founder of a Bitcoin startup could be 13 years old. You know, no one's stopping that a kid from going and creating something. If the product and the service is good and works, people will use it.
Right. Okay. All right. Good. So I don't want to, this be too long. I don't want to take up a lot of your time. I appreciate your time so much. But I need to ask you, so you're from a small town? Where did you say you were from?
Fayetteville, Tennessee. So population 10,000.
All right. So are you the richest person there? If you did live there, would you be the richest person there? Well, of course you probably would. What am I saying? All right. Hey, so, and also tell me something about this mining thing. I want to go over mining. I know we have a lot of questions that we could go over and spend next 3 days. I'm really fascinated about all this stuff, but I really want to know, and we can have you back on the show whenever you're available again. So I'd love to have you anytime. But what is it about mining? Because people talk about the oil and gas business. And even though I've drilled hundreds of wells or thousands or been involved in thousands, we've had gas flares and all that. And people are saying that they could mine. They could do this mining of Bitcoin on the well side or something.
Yeah. So, Bitcoin mining is the kind of backbone and core of Bitcoin. It is a very exciting opportunity for the industrial world. Bitcoin mining is the system that secures the Bitcoin network. It's also the process by which new Bitcoins get minted. So 21 million Bitcoin is all that will ever exist. Right now, there's roughly 18.5 million that have been mined. So there's, you know, let's say 2.5 million Bitcoins left to be mined, which you apply, you know, a $50,000 Bitcoin price tag on those. That's what, $100 billion of Bitcoin roughly out there left to be mined.
Right.
At today's price. So if the price goes up, the pot of money there to be mined grows proportionally. Bitcoin mining is basically the process of burning electricity to do a cryptographic function that is provable and random that anyone anywhere can do. So if you have access to energy, you can be a Bitcoin miner. You can do Bitcoin mining off your laptop, but your laptop doesn't have a lot of computational power. So there's specialized companies that make these rigs and you plug them into the wall in the most rudimentary sense, and they're money printers. They start making money. The number one cost input in mining is your energy source. So it's all about securing the cheapest energy possible. And I'd say right now, roughly the annual revenue of all Bitcoin miners is somewhere between 10 and 20 billion a year right now. So it's big, but you know, it's still not unbelievably sized. But if Bitcoin goes up 10x, then it'll be $100 billion industry. So you say how are kind of energy producers taking advantage of this? So there's two ways really. Well, first off, they're doing a lot of large deals where if they have excess power on their net, on their grid, like if you have a nuclear power plant that's at 2/3 capacity, I can sell my remaining capacity to a miner who will eat up however much power I have and build a facility, you know, half a mile away from my power plant. And so you're seeing that happen in places in the Northeast where there's a lot of decommissioned natural gas power plants. You're seeing people who have who flare natural gas. That's just waste energy. There are companies that are building machinery and rigs so that when you need to flare your gas, you can actually convert that into power on site to power those miners. And you've just turned your waste product into a revenue generating business for you. And then third, you know, Bitcoin is geographically agnostic, meaning you do not need to be close to a population center or an infrastructure center in order to be able to monetize your energy source. So you could go out into the middle of nowhere where you have cheap power, but maybe none of the other parts of your supply chain. You could harvest that power on location, and you could use it in its entirety to do mining on location. And so that's unique. There's a big energy company out of Sweden who's like, you know, Sweden is covered in places we could build hydroelectric power. No one lives there, so we don't do it. But with Bitcoin, we could build a hydroelectric dam just focused on Bitcoin mining, put all the Bitcoin miners on site, and boom, we've now been able to develop a new energy source that just the economics didn't make sense earlier to do so. So Bitcoin's making a massive impact on the energy markets already. I think right now it's roughly 1% of global energy production is going to Bitcoin mining. Yeah. But it grows proportionate to the amount of revenue there is to harvest. So again, if the price of Bitcoin goes up 10x, the amount of power that the Bitcoin mining community will be trying to eat will go up 10x. So 1% right. becomes 10%. So it's a serious market. And there's a lot of energy companies that we've been working with who are looking to work with mining companies. And you know, I think Blackstone actually just announced yesterday they're doing like a $5 billion mining facility at some of their power plants in Alberta, Canada. So and you know, Texas has a very vibrant Bitcoin mining scene. A lot of Chinese miners that were actually just kicked out of China by the government are all flooding into Texas for cheap power and because of the business friendly environment.
Yeah, I bet. And I know that there's NAEP is next week when this airs. It'll be Thursday night when this airs, and it'll be the same night that NAEP is on the 18th, 19th, and 20th of this month. What's August? And I'm sure NAEP is the biggest oil and gas show. On land oil and gas show in the nation. Cool. And it's in Houston, and it's twice a year. It's in the summertime and also in the winter, February and August. And I'm curious to find out. And I'm going to look through that. I'm going to look for it. And I'm going to get back with you and let you know what's going on down there with that.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be miners there. You know, we would love to sponsor an event like that just to be able to educate people on the opportunity, because it's just an information thing. Like once. You know, everyone loves making money. So once they understand how do I make money and what does it require for me to do so, you know, that's how business starts happening. So
right. Well, do you want to get involved in that? I mean, maybe I could. I'll tell you what. Let me look at it this afternoon, and I'll get back with you about more information about that, because I know we're going down. I just don't know. We normally have a booth. We don't have a booth this year. I'm putting our fund together, and we're starting to. We bought a bunch of deals, but. I didn't decide to buy a booth this year, but I probably will in the winter NAEP, which is the bigger one. This is the smaller one.
Got it.
But there's going to be a lot of, there's, I think there's like 13,000 people or something there.
Cool.
Is that as big as your 2021? Or did you say how many people? You had 13,000.
Yeah, 13,000.
Yeah. I think you're trying to copy you. I think that's what the deal is. No, it's a good conference. But anyway, I'll find out more and get back with you offline. I know we could talk about this forever. So ESG with oil and gas, what can you tell me about ESG?
You know, there's a lot of ways to you know, position this conversation. I think someone who was trying to sell your audience on Bitcoin would probably say, hey, Bitcoin is green. A lot of power that is used in Bitcoin mining is actually green renewable power. I'm not going to take that approach. I will tell you what I actually think. I think ESG is bullshit. I think that energy production is actually a great benefit to humanity. Energy consumption is the number one most correlated thing to someone's standard of living. I think we need to be dramatically increasing our energy production globally. There's something called the Kardashev scale, which talks about basically how advanced humanity is as a civilization. Based on how much energy it produces and consumes. And so energy is not a bad thing. And I think Bitcoin is actually going to help us create the economics so that dramatically more energy production happens. And I think from energy production, we learn all sorts of things about technology, supply chains, that trickles down to all of society. So, you know, I'm actually very bullish on Bitcoin's ability to grow our total amount of energy produced. And I think Bitcoin is going to take the ESG community and investment crowd, and we're kind of going head on with them to have this battle. I mean, I don't think burning, you know, a forest to do anything is a smart idea, but the way that you move on to cleaner technologies and energy production is by making the economics make sense. You don't mandate them out of existence. We didn't need a mandate to stop whale hunting. The economics just broke. So I think the same here. Like as Bitcoin bids up the price of energy and the amount of energy production that's needed, I think that it's going to make things like solar power, et cetera, things that are renewable, more price competitive. And, you know, that's how capitalism works. But I just don't buy fundamentally the argument that there's anything wrong with energy production. I actually think energy production is a great benefit to humanity and something that needs to be increased. Yeah.
I mean, we're so close. I mean, we need so much oil in the United States, and we're not making it. I mean, we're not making anywhere close to what we're consuming. And we've talked about that a lot. Where if you live in Saudi Arabia or Iraq, or I mean, you're producing 8 million barrels of oil a day, and you're only consuming 3. You know, so you're selling 5 million barrels a day on the open markets. Where in the United States, we need 20 million barrels a day. Our consumption level. Appetite's 20 million. We're only consuming 11. So we've got to get 9 from other countries. So we're way away from.
If we can consume more energy, I mean, you want to solve the green energy problem, 5x the price of a barrel of oil through consumption. And then all of a sudden, solar power is the cheapest power form. Exactly. You know, like just make the economics where oil doesn't make sense anymore. It's too expensive. And the economy will naturally move to other technologies that are cheaper. So, you know, I hope a barrel of oil gets to $500. That's the goal.
Man, I do too. Just one time, baby. I promise I'm going to sell everything, mama. I told you last time that I was going to sell everything when it got up to 120. But anyway, I mean, you're right. And I think Biden's going toward that, but that's a different topic, I know, and politics and everything else. But he is. I mean, I think he's doing the same thing where he is looking out for the green and wants to be green, greener, everything else, and doesn't really, and he's not thinking about how much we're producing and drilling. Because I mean, rig count's down, capital's not going into the business because everybody's going green, and nobody can put money into rigs, which means less rigs, less production. But our consumption levels are still going up. Yeah, this little slight scare in the pandemic has us all kind of worried, or has everybody worried about the consumption levels, but. But when we get through this, I mean, it's going to be, we're not going to have the oil. We won't have the oil. Oil prices will go up. You know, I'm still very, very, very bullish about $100 a barrel. Not bearish at all about oil prices and what's going
to
happen.
It's, you know, you have to take a step back and just say, what is the point of energy? You know, what is the point of the environment? And I'm of the opinion that, you know, we want to make the environment as great as possible for people. Like, we want a great environment because we live in it. That's why. We don't want to eliminate people or eliminate energy consumption to the detriment of people purely so that the environment, you know, has no carbon emissions into it. You know, we want to harvest the resources of the world to propel humanity forward. And, you know, it's a framing of the argument that I think, you know, probably some people listening to this might have a heart attack hearing that, but, you know, the world is our oyster, and it's our responsibility to do as much with it as we can, not to regress as a society or a civilization.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I mentioned a minute ago that I told my mom I'd sell at 500. You know, but what about Bitcoin? Is there a price where you just go, all right, that's it, I'm done, I'm out. I'm gonna go to the beach.
First off, I'm wearing my Bitcoin 100K hat, so I'm trying to meme that into existence. But there's a meme in Bitcoin. When it's time to sell your Bitcoin, you won't have to. Meaning that the end state of Bitcoin is that we are trying, and it's going to take. This is a bold statement I know I'm about to make, and it's going to take a long time to get there. But we are building a new reserve currency for the world, not just for the world. I mean, for humanity, and so. You know, the end state of Bitcoin is one Bitcoin. Bitcoin is the value system of the world, and one Bitcoin equals 1/21,000,000th of all the assets that exist in the world that you can purchase with it. So, you know, quantify that into dollar terms. I mean, you're talking about, we have 10,000x upside in the price of Bitcoin from here or more. And, you know, as we get to that price point, as we slowly through the adoption curve get there, it will be universally accepted. I mean, Bitcoin already has 100 million holders worldwide. You know, I bet you in 4 years' time, we get back on a podcast, we're going to be at 500 million users worldwide. It's, you know, it, as long as the technology doesn't break, which is, you know, a big caveat, as long as it doesn't break, it's just going to keep growing in adoption in both the business world, the retail world, the global marketplace. And so I'm going to be able to use Bitcoin for more and more things. So when Bitcoin has reached peak maturity in the sense of everyone who's adopted is going to adopt it, well, great. Now I can just take the Bitcoin I have and spend it places or make investments with it. I don't actually need to sell. What am I selling into?
Right.
$90. So, you know, so I'm like, I am a diehard believer in this. Like I said earlier, like, I feel like this is at the foundation of, does humanity have true free markets going forward? And we need free money to have free markets. And so we are building this until what we call hyper-Bitcoinization occurs, which is 100% adoption, 100% penetration. Every transaction that happens in the world happens on top of the Bitcoin value system.
Wow, that is so awesome. That is great. And I'm becoming a believer. I've got some European guys that are like, well, to wire the funds, you know, and all this. I'm like, hey, pay me in Bitcoins. You can invest $1 million in Bitcoin, and then every month on the 20th of the month, we send out monthly revenue checks. So I could just put that into our Bitcoin wallet.
Just
send that to them every month. Oh, that'd be awesome. Right. That's a great way to do it. I didn't think about that. I'm going to need to call them.
I mean, it's the difference between email versus the U.S. Postal Office. And, you know, people think, hey, well, you know, Bitcoin's volatile, I don't know if I trust in the system. It's like, you know, but you're putting your trust into whoever the Fed chairman is, selected by whoever won the most recent election, that is the shit show of Washington, D.C. I mean, you have the most dysfunctional government that you could just about imagine. And you're going to put all of your faith in holding an asset that they control and set the policy for. Like, does that not in any way keep you up at night? You know, whereas with Bitcoin, it's math-based money. It's like, yes, it might be volatile, but no one's changing the issuance rate. No one's, you know, deciding, hey, you know, the economy is slowing down, we need to print more Bitcoin. It's it is truly what you buy is what you get. And with dollars, that's not the case. What you buy with, when you have dollars, it changes presidential election to presidential election. And so I think every investor, if they want to be able to sleep soundly at night, no matter how dysfunctional things get, they need to have at least some allocation of Bitcoin, not a big one, but some allocation, because if the technology really takes off, a little allocation will become a very big part of your portfolio.
Right.
So you have a very asymmetric risk reward trade-off there. And, you know, I also tell people, it's like, you know, what type of legacy do you want to leave for your kids or for your grandchildren or for future generations? It's like, there's no more important legacy to leave than free markets, capitalism, freedom. Like, that's what we need to enshrine for the world, because it's under siege. It is under siege.
Right. Right. Makes sense. It all makes sense. 100% makes sense. That's awesome. That is awesome. So, I want to close, unless there's anything, what is there anything that you wanted to mention or anything that you can think of at the last to close?
Yeah. So I will shill my own businesses here. You know, if you're interested in learning about Bitcoin, following it along, check out Bitcoin Magazine. We have great tutorials for beginners. We have content for investors. We have more advanced content for people who are already enthusiasts. Check out our conference happening in April. We'll have all sorts of content there as well. You know, covering it from all the different lenses. We'll have a dedicated area for mining, for developers, for investors, et cetera. And then, you know, if you're a high net worth individual that's listening to this and you want to deploy capital, you're interested, but it's not something that you can dedicate hours of your day to every day. We have a hedge fund, UTXO Management, We manage roughly $100 million. We follow all the best practices. It's the value investing fund of Bitcoin, and something that, you know, my parents are invested into. So, you know, we're very conservative in the scope of the digital currency landscape and can help you get dollars deployed in a safe way, tax efficient way, secure way, and just help Sherpa you along this process. So, you know, the first step is always the hardest. Get $1,000 worth of Bitcoin. I promise you, if you get $1,000 worth of Bitcoin, it will demystify so much of it to you. It'll make it so much less scary. And then going from 1,000 to 100,000 is much easier than going from zero to 1,000. Get off zero.
Right. That's awesome. So there was the Tiger guy in San Francisco, and I don't remember his name off the top of my head. Great guy. He gave me $10 in Bitcoin in my Bitcoin wallet, like, 10 years ago. And I could not unload it. When the price went to 20 grand, I'm like, oh man, how much is this $10 worth? You know, and at the time I couldn't unleash it. I couldn't get the serial numbers and all that because they're like 10 digit number. Anyway. So, I never could get it, but I mean, it was talking about how, I mean, he transferred it to me like right then. And it's so easy. And it's so, I mean, I was like, man, you just give me $10. He goes, yeah, $10 in Bitcoin. So I think we need to go after. I think we need to talk to people about, hey, we take Bitcoin.
For sure. For sure.
You know, we take Bitcoin. There's a lot of people out there that have made a tremendous amount of money in Bitcoin. And why wouldn't you don't want to necessarily, I'm trying to figure out if you invested in oil and gas or in any other, would you have to claim would you have to claim that if you bought it at, let's say, $1,000 and it went to $40,000, would you have to claim that as a sale of your Bitcoin to convert it over to here? I guess you would. Would that be a taxable event?
Yeah. If you sold the Bitcoin, you have a capital gains event. But what a lot of people do, it's a clever strategy. They take their Bitcoin and they go to a lender. They collateralize. They give their Bitcoin as collateral. They get a loan against their Bitcoin. Then they take that money, which has a new cost basis, turn that into Bitcoin and send it. Then they don't have to pay any taxes. So right. There are right. Clever workarounds to be very tax efficient. You know, it's what our business does. Almost our entire treasury is in Bitcoin. We don't ever spend down the treasury. We just borrow against it when we need excess cash. Yeah. And you mentioned a point I think is important for your audience about someone gave you $10 worth of Bitcoin and you couldn't figure out how to get back access to it. You know, Bitcoin, our saying is be your own bank. Well, there's a certain responsibility that comes with being your own bank, because if you lose the Bitcoin that you have, if you have a private key and you wipe your cell phone or you wrote it down and you lose the paper, that Bitcoin's gone. Like, there's no one who can recover it. There's no phone number to call. Like, you are taking responsibility for custodying your own funds. And so it's important that even if it's a small amount of money, you take it seriously, because a small amount of money can become a large amount of money and you don't want to be haunted that, dang, you know, I just kind of was flipping about that. And then now I can't get access to it. I mean, I've made that mistake. Every person in this industry makes that mistake at one point in time. And it's a painful lesson, but you learn from it. But, you know, the best way to do it is, you know, get a hardware wallet, get a paper wallet, put Bitcoin on that wallet, put it in a safety deposit box at the bank. And then as long as you have access to that safety deposit box, your Bitcoins are safe and sound and secure. But, you know, just don't mess up the custody part. You're going to be kicking yourself later.
Yeah, I think that's what I did. I think that's what I did. And I figured out that if I 100x my money, it went, well, not my money, the guy gave me the money. If it was worth $1,000, I spent days trying to figure out how to, and I was like, okay, I'm out. I won't think about this anymore.
Do you know what type of wallet he's in it to? The name of the wallet?
Yeah, some. I mean, it was on my Apple phone, you know, type deal. But I just, man, I was like, you know, it's like some of those things that you spend so much time and effort on trying to figure out all this different stuff. And you're like, man, you know what? If it's worth $1,000, I mean, and we're making how many money? How much money, you know, a month and a day? And I'm like, man, okay. And maybe one of these days, if I get it down to the science or something, and I can call you, David, and go, man, hey, you're the Bitcoin expert.
Hey, when Bitcoin goes up another 1,000x and you're really feeling heartburn about that, you give me a ring.
I know. Exactly. I need to go buy some Bitcoin. I need to open up a Bitcoin account, and I'm going to go after some Bitcoin people. It sounds like there's an incredible market out there with a lot of people that have done extremely well.
A huge market. 40 million Americans own Bitcoin. There's, you know, easily 100 plus people that have become billionaires through cryptocurrency, probably more at this point. And, you know, I'm just going to say, I mean, not owning Bitcoin in this world, in this day and age, I'm going to say it, it's irresponsible. You got to get some Bitcoin. Every investor's got to have an allocation of Bitcoin or you are rolling the dice. Yeah. You're betting on Washington, D.C., which is not a good place to bet on.
I agree. I'm going to get some. I'm going to tell you about it. And I want to come to your conference. I mean, unless there's a huge volleyball tournament that my daughter's going to be in April 6th and 9th, I don't know yet. But if there is, I can't be there. But if not, that's the only reason why I don't do things is because my daughter's in volleyball and I catch every one of her volleyball games.
Hey, bring your daughter. Other than that, I'm there. People bring their kids and you know, young people, they love Bitcoin. Oh, yeah. Makes sense to young people. So bring your daughter. She'll find her next startup job. She'll, you know, meet some interesting people, and I guarantee you she'll have fun.
Oh, man. I can't imagine. I can't imagine all the different things that are there and the people and the excitement. And I want to learn more about I want to follow up with you on the oil and gas side with Nate coming up next week. I'm going to do some studying about that. I've got a meeting here at 4 o'clock with my VP of exploration. We talked about you a little bit before and the Bitcoin and the mining. And I want to find out more about that because that may be a great opportunity right there.
Yeah. You should search a company called Great American Mining. Great American Mining. They specialize in the flared gas converted into Bitcoin. And there's a bunch. Hodel Ranch also in Texas in your neck of the woods is a really big operation. And I'm telling you, there's money to be made if you're in the oil and gas business. That's just, you're leaving it on the table if you don't explore this stuff.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. That's great. Well, I tell you what, it's been such a pleasure talking to you today. I could go on and on, but I don't like for my episodes to be so long that people look at them and go, oh man,
sure,
50 minutes, 60 minutes. And, man, we could talk forever, man. I mean, you are so interesting, and I really loved having you on the show. And I know that there's going to be a lot of people out there going, man, why doesn't Jay get all the people that's this interesting to talk to? So, David, man, you have knocked it out of the park. I appreciate everything that you've said and shared with our listeners. We're going toward that audience of the 16 to 20-year-olds and thinking about, hey, where do you want to go with your life and which path do you go on? You can't go on 3, 4, 5. You got to go on one. Which one do you do? And I tell you, listening to people like you that are new, that are, man, they got these great ideas and this cryptocurrency, the Bitcoin, and you know, made so many mistakes, but your wins have outnumbered your mistakes. And to know that, I mean, it's like, man, you know, we and I'm in the old business, so and not forever. And you do have mistakes. And you do make them, you drill a dry hole, or not anymore, but you drill dry holes and you're like, man, and oil prices go down. And to know that, hey, you know what? The only way to make money in this world is to never give up. And it sounds like that's your motto long time ago, David. And you've done very, very well. And I'm so glad to have you.
Hey,
the richest man in your hometown.
You got to do something that's worth failing for. So, you know, find the thing you love and do it the best you possibly can. Yeah. Well, Jay, thank you for having me on your show. Thank you for letting me talk to your audience. Get off zero and look forward to talking to you again real soon.
I appreciate that. I appreciate it. And look forward to having you on again. Thank you so much. And we'll talk again soon. Thank you.